tickety boo.
Good evening, one and all. A Wednesday, already quite a bit, well, 4 days into September, and this is another book and a chat with me, Barry. Well, they say that animals and children can see and hear, even talk to things, people, spirits, whatever you want to call them, angels even, more. Then, and they lose it, especially with the children, as they get older. That is, until they get to a certain age. And at that certain age, people seem to be able to accept that this is there, that these people are there, that you can communicate with this. Now, whether it is the fact that they are willing to accept, or perhaps it's cramming for their finals when you get to a certain age, but they do. But it's not everybody like that. Some people pick up this ability or realize this ability later on in life. We've had quite a few people who've been able to communicate from sort of spirits to those that have gone, to angels, to all sorts. As you know, we've had a lot of that on the show over the decades now that this show's been running. Well, my guest today, she was, I think it was 16 when she first realized this talent, for want of a better word, that she had. We'll find out, shall we? Because I'll introduce her. On the show today, we have award-winning, I better say that because I just realised she's an award-winning author, Alejandro Brady. Hi, Alejandro. How are you?
Hi, Barry. It's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure.
I am good.
Really is. Interestingly, what I said at the beginning is we found it very much so, my wife and I. We've always been acceptance of sort of there is other universe, other parallels, there is communication and stuff that I remember. I think I must have been 17 when I saw my first ghost, for want of a better term, and it was I was going over the Chilterns, the hills in the south of England. I was on a scooter, a Lambretta, going over these things, going to meet somebody in a place called Aylesbury, if I remember right. And I sort of went past something. You sort of go past something and think, what was that I just saw? And I sort of pulled up and I looked back. And there, disappearing behind me, was a Roman legion marching along the Icknield Way there. And I sort of got to this pub where I was meeting this person, and I said, oh my goodness, give me a drink quick. They said, what's that? I said, oh, you never believe what I just seen. And they said, oh, what, you seen the legion? Oh my goodness, we see them all the time.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah,
that's wild.
It's one of these, you know, these ones that replay and that. But always been, and my wife as well, always been susceptible, especially in our latter years, to be able to do this stuff. We often, we can feel cats, departed cats or dogs in the room or on the bed, jumping on the bed, or you're in the basement, you can hear something walking about the floor and stuff like that. And even now, my wife's parents were in this house. In fact, her mother died in this house. And we hear them chatting, especially we hear her shouting, her mother shouting at her father.
Oh, that's so funny. I love that.
But it is. Once you're willing, I think once people are willing to open themselves and accept it, I think then this you know, visitation, whatever you want to call it, better term, might happen. Now, this happened to you, was it 16 when you had your first visitation?
So 16 is when it first happened to me, but until I was writing the book after I turned 50, I didn't realize that it was a, like you said a little earlier, you know, that I just kind of thought everybody could do this.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that was talked about in my house, so I never talked about it with anybody. But yes, unfortunately, mine came from a very sad experience. I was a junior in high school, so I do like to set the scene for a moment because people are like, oh, you could have gotten this information, you know, a million different ways.
Yeah.
So when I was 16, it was 1984. So there was no internet. There were no phones in our bedrooms. We were not allowed. There were no TVs in our bedrooms. We were not allowed. No cell phones, obviously. They didn't exist for the general population either. So I would have had no way to know this except that my boyfriend showed up in my bedroom, you know, in the middle of the night, and he came to say goodbye. He had just died in a car accident on the highway.
And he came to say goodbye, yeah?
He came to say goodbye. That's what he said to me. He said, you know, he said Alejandra, which is my name. And he goes, hi, Alejandra. And he said, you know, I love you. Bye. And I just said, okay, bye. Like, it didn't register really, you know, but I could see them the way that I can see another human being walking around fully dressed. I could tell you what he was wearing. It was the 80s. He had a button down, you know, polo shirt, like Ralph Lauren, the little polo guy, button down with khaki pants. And, you know, I can tell you everything. And it was a Sunday night. So I woke up on Monday morning early to go to school. And I walked into my mother and father's bedroom. And my mom had like the actual old-fashioned receiver, you know, the phone that you pick up with the cord.
Yep.
And she was holding it up, and I could see she was crying. And so I just looked at her, and I was saying this to her in Spanish, because Spanish was our first language at home. I just said, I don't want to go to school today. And she just looked at me, you know, mid-conversation of whatever she was talking about, and she asked me why. And I said, because I said his name, you know, he died last night. And she just looked at me again, and I go, he died, didn't he? And she goes, yes, mijita, you know, yes, he did die. There, and so I just sat on the edge of the bed. That's what they were telling her on the phone as I was walking into the room. So I sat on the bed. I waited for her to finish.
Yeah.
And then she never asked me. Like, it wasn't a conversation. Like, how did you know this?
Oh.
It was just kind of like she told me what happened. And then she said, you don't have to go to school. But there was never a, well, how do you know this? Well, what happened that you would know this? So, again, I just kind of thought, well, I guess everybody has this ability, which is why nobody asked me any questions about it.
Right. Now, one question on that, and I've heard sort of some things like that. When you saw him, was he wearing the clothes he died in?
I don't know, because when he died. So I don't know. I was supposed to be there. My parents didn't let me go at the last minute, and everybody in the car died.
Oh, my goodness.
His brother's girlfriend. Yeah, and he and my parents at the last minute, for absolutely no reason that I can remember, because I wasn't grounded or anything, just said, no, you can't go. And, you know, I threw my little 16-year-old girl fit and screamed and yelled and screamed at them that they were unfair and horrible parents. And I went into my room, slammed the door, and unfortunately, basically everybody in the car died. His brother died 20 years later physically, but he was in a coma the entire time.
Right.
Like, he never woke up again. The brother's girlfriend went through the front window and died on impact. And my boyfriend went through the passenger side window, and it tore his arm off, and he bled off on the side of the road.
Oh, dear.
Very sad. Very, very, very tragic. But yeah, I just never really thought about it. I talked about it. Thankfully, I talked about it to my husband and my son for a long time, but I used it as a drunk driving story, because sadly it was a drunk driving story.
Right.
So I used it to scare our son, you know, and to say, this is what can happen. It was 5 days before our prom. You know, he was captain of the football team, and look at what happened to him.
Right.
So I used it in that way, but it wasn't until I started writing the story of my spiritual journey that I started kind of connecting the dots. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been able to have this gift since I was a kid. I didn't realize I had a gift per se.
Was it that made you start thinking into about it, but, or was it later on, as you said, you know, because you thought, well, everybody can do this, you know, it was further down the line, perhaps with other stuff that was affecting you, that you started
much further,
right?
Much further. Yeah. I didn't think anything other than, well, I guess, you know, since nobody asked me how I know this or what happened or anything or why, it's just something that must happen to everybody when somebody close to them dies.
Did you have any fear of this this emotion?
No.
This thing at the time? No, okay.
No, I did not, because I knew him.
Right.
You know, it wasn't a scary thing for me. And then the next time that I remember was when my mom died, then when my dad died. And then after that, I had a very, very, what I thought was dark experience. And after working with some of my teachers and understanding, I was actually helping a little girl cross. But in the moment, that was my first one that I didn't know who this person was. And I was in Mexico, and we were staying at a beautiful resort for my husband's 50th birthday, but his birthday is November 1st, so it's Halloween, and it's Day of the Dead in Mexico. And unbeknownst to me, the resort I booked was built upon a Mayan ancient burial ground.
Right.
Yeah. So, that happened. So that one, yes, that one scared me.
The fact that this was going on, when did you start sort of, I don't know, delving into it and the emotional and the mental stuff that you were going, that and opening up and realizing that you had this talent?
So I like to call it a gift, because to me, a talent is something maybe you can develop yourself. I truly feel this is a gift from God to me. Source, God, whatever the word is for you, you know, universe, everybody has a different word. To me, it's all the same thing. It was not until I had yet another experience very early into, I'm a feng shui expert. And so when I was getting certified to become a feng shui practitioner, I was also working with the energy in my house. And as I unblocked my house and aligned the energy in my house, more and more things started happening to me.
So you,
personally. It happened during that time.
Right. So with the feng shui.
Feng shui. I know. It's a hard one to say.
It's just because I'm looking at the word, even though I know what it is. The feng shui. That was basically aligning you and your life and your capabilities
with my real purpose.
Exactly.
With my real purpose in this life.
Yeah.
Correct. So I got told during a meditation, the feng shui, you know, having my house energetically aligned kind of started piquing my curiosity in other spiritual modalities. I kind of call it my little gateway drug to the spiritual world.
Right.
And so I decided I was going to learn about meditation. And it was one of my very first meditations. Archangel Michael showed up.
Okay.
And he said, "You're going to write a book." And I said, "No, thank you. I have no interest in writing a book." And for the next 5 days, he came and he kept saying that I was going to write a book. And finally,
on
the fifth day, I just said, "What am I writing a book about? Who the hell cares what a 50-year-old white, privileged, middle-aged woman has to say? Like, I mean, you know, nobody." I did not. And I was told just to start writing what was happening. And so as I started writing what was happening, stranger and stranger things were happening. And then I was sort of guided to, like, go and find these teachers. And every time I thought of a modality or read about a modality that seemed interesting to me, you know, from past life regression to sound bowls to inner child healing, all the things, the teachers would show up for me. And as I worked with them, they were the ones that helped me understand what I was, you know, and helped me kind of connect these dots and encourage me to dive back into my childhood and really think about things and remember things that had happened to me. Right.
That's the big thing. That's a big thing that I hear from a lot of. I've heard from quite a few authors who've been told they had to write something, they had to put their life down, they had to share what happened to them with other people and stuff like that. But in doing so, they open up perhaps things that have been locked away.
100%.
And that not only helps them. Sorry, helps other people. By sharing that thing, it also helps them to perhaps realize some of the things that have happened in their life.
And helps, at least in my case, it helps me heal. Because I'm now a healer, right? I heal people's homes and I heal people through their homes. But I had to get to a place where I was healed enough and I had to do the work for myself, you know, to kind of understand, because it's a lot easier to be empathetic and to help other people when you understand why they are the way they are. And I had to figure out why I was the way I was. And that is what kind of changed and pivoted and just put me in a different direction, you know. And it's bringing me out. I mean, I had is seeking to be out in the spotlight and have my name here and there and be on podcasts and do all these things, but yet it's part of my purpose and part of my journey to get my story out to help others. So I do it.
Right. In your book, I Just Can't Make This Shit Up, which is your one of your favorite sayings by all accounts, and I know exactly what
it
you
is.
Mean. I have a pad in front of me which says shit I have to do. Similar sort of thing. So, but you also had this like a second catalyst when you sort of met your biological family or something, didn't you?
Oh, yes. So I was adopted at birth. And so when you hear me refer to my mom and dad, like my mom came to me, my dad came to me after they passed. Those mm-hmm. are the parents that raised me.
Right. Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Yes. So, but when I was 40, 2 years after my parents died, because my mom died in 6 months to the day my dad died when I was 38 years old. Mm-hmm. And 2 years later, as I was just healing, you know, from that loss, my biological mother's side of the family found me. And then 10 years to the same week, my biological father's side of the family found me. Now, mind you, I am one of those people who did not look. I didn't care. Yeah. I had a very good upbringing. Yep. I understand and I completely respect people who feel like they have a void or for whatever reason feel the need to go search for their biological parents. I just didn't have that. All so right. I never looked and I didn't care. But I had a very interesting caveat when people asked me why I didn't want to look for them. I just said, well, I mean, you know, she's a 17-year-old girl. Like, I'm glad she gave me a life, you know? She gave me a better shot at life. I have nothing but gratitude, and that's how my parents raised my sister and I, to be grateful to our biological mothers mm-hmm. for having us.
Yeah.
But I said, but if she ever comes to look for me, you know, the door's always open. Well, good Lord, I never thought that would happen, but it did. So they were in my life for... I tried for 11 years. You know, in the end, I had to make the decision to separate myself and not have them be part of my life anymore. They saw my gifts as evil and of the devil and said those words to me. And I do talk about that in the book, about how that went down. And I don't feel that that is what my gifts are. I feel the exact opposite. I feel that they are gifts from God, and I am here to help others. And we could just not come to terms where they were respectful of my beliefs. I was always respectful of theirs. However, they were not of mine. And therefore, I just couldn't continue the relationship. And this is biological mother's side. Right. I'm sorry, just to clarify. Biological father's side, I have a great relationship with.
Didn't you find out that they also had some sort of gifts or something?
Yeah. So my biological mother, I have bloodline gifts. So our son, we have one child, and our son has my gifts as well. And he knows it because we talk about it. And he just says, Mom, I'm not ready. He's 30 almost. Mm-hmm. He goes, I'm just not ready for this. And I'm like, that's fine. But you understand that you have them, and it's free will. Thank goodness for free will, right? You can say yes or no. He doesn't say no. He just said, I'm not ready. My biological mother, as I was going through this journey, I was sharing it with her and I was giving her the terminology that I was being given and explaining to her what happened. She pulled me aside and she told me a story and she said that she had the gifts, which is why I had them. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And then she said that she rejected them because hers came in dark. And she went on to tell me the whole story. And I do talk about that in the book as to, you know, the details of the story. But I completely understand why she said no. Her situation was very different. I have only and always worked in the light. I'm very grateful for that. And as many lifetimes as I've had, I'm always of the light. So I don't deal with the darkness in any way, shape, or form. I just don't allow it. And hers came in dark. And so she said, no, thank you. And it scared, you know, the shit out of her.
Right.
Totally get it. But then when I explained that that was not the same experience that I was having, and I did want to use mine to somehow help people in this world because I was being asked to and I was answering the call, then that's when, you know, I was of the devil and I was evil and my gifts were divination. Mm-hmm. And they even pulled out a sheet of paper and, you know, handed it to me saying how everything I just told them that I was, which was, you know, clairvoyant, clairaudient, is all of the devil. And I'm like, okay, then, well, I can see that we're never going to come to a resolution and a place of mutual respect for each other on this. So I had to pull away.
Right.
You know, and I don't know if it's forever or not, but unless something drastically changes on their end and they can be respectful of what I'm trying to do in the world, then it just is what it is. I wish them well, and they're wonderful people. They're very nice people. But we just can't, you know, coexist on that. And I'm not going to be told that I'm of the devil when I'm around people.
Right.
That's just not okay with me. Those are boundaries, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to put up boundaries.
Yeah, of course you do when it's something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Your book, I Just Can't Make This Shit Up, Overcoming Fear and Accepting My Spiritual Gifts. Now, to me, and what you've been saying, that is one of the biggest things, the accepting that you have this gift. And it's not the devil, as you said, you know,
right.
You have this thing that, and you're able to help people with it, which is the important part of when you have that talent to be able to do. That must have been a hard thing for you to actually get to do, to accept that and be willing to help people.
It took a minute because it was very overwhelming to me. You know, I was learning it. And at the same time as I'm learning it, I'm being told by these healers all over the world, you know, you're here to write a book, you're here to reach millions, you're here to do this. And I'm like, this is all a lot. And it's a lot really fast. Mm. So it took a minute to, and I was, you know, I was scared too, because at the very beginning, when somebody is just, and I'm sure you already know this, when somebody is just spiritually opening up, the other side gets very excited.
Yep.
And so I wasn't sleeping because I was being bombarded, you know, morning, noon, and night. Everybody was very happy. And I'd go to bed and it's a party in the room. I'd wake up and it's a party in the room. And, you know, I had to be taught how to say yes, to stay only in the light, to set office hours, to set up boundaries, you know. So
you hear that. You hear that a lot.
Things.
You hear that a lot. You've got to set boundaries because otherwise, as you say, you get bombarded. I mean, you know, there's people in your room.
There's no time frame for that, right? There's no time frame in their world, but there is in mine, and it's called 3 a.m. and I need to be asleep, not awake.
Exactly.
So once I did all that, then I was able to confidently say yes. But it takes a minute, you know. You have to take your time and do what you need to do for yourself also to feel comfortable to move forward.
Okay. Time's nearly gone, so I'll hand you the show in a minute. But just got one final question. You know, as I said, you've won awards with the book and all the stuff like that. Do you feel that with this book you fulfilled what you were meant to do? Or is it something that's, you're never going to do that? You're always going to be improving and learning and helping?
I think the latter. I think there's always something else. I am somebody who likes to learn. I am somebody who likes to, once I reach one goal, then what's my next one?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I have been told by multiple healers that this is the first of several books. This is not the end. And I just go, oh my gosh,
right.
Really? Oh my goodness.
Right.
This is so much work and took so much out of me. But apparently there's books, there's talks, perhaps a show, there's other things that are, you know, out there for me. And I'm sure that they will show themselves in divine timing and in the right time and with the right help. So now all I say is, if this is what I'm supposed to be doing to help others, then please bring me the people and the support and the, you know, finances and just everything that I need in order to accomplish it. Because you don't get told that you have to write a book and then the book appears the next day.
Right.
I mean, it's a process.
Yep.
So I just ask from my team, you know, from my guides and my spirits and everybody, God, universe, source, all of it, to just help me and channel through me what I'm supposed to be doing and how I'm supposed to be doing, and to bring me the helpful people I need to get me there to, you know, expand.
There you go. Well, it has been fascinating chatting to you. I really enjoyed it. But time goes as we were talking before the show. So what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you and have you tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, your book. So over to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, again, the name of my book, it is a bestseller now, which is also very exciting for me, is I Just Can't Make This Shit Up. And you can find it on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, pretty much any place you get books. Also on my website, which is AlejandraBrady.com. And I've also created, as far as I know, the only Feng Shui Oracle card deck. So that's a fun one as well. Yes. And so if you're not ready to work with me, because I do virtual consultations all over the world. But if you're not ready to work with me, you can order the card deck and you can be your own feng shui consultant and do your whole home by the time you go through all 77 cards.
Great. Great. Yep. Actually, I got a cousin in Cornwall that does cards and tarots all over the world. So we know a little bit about it from her because she's always chatting to us about stuff like that more often. Anyway, it has been great chatting to you. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show, and good luck with the book. And the others that we know you've got yet to do.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, right?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry.
Well, there you go. My guest today. How about that? Alejandro G. Brady. Now, I'll spell that because it's A-L-E-J-A-N-D-R-A. A-L-E-J-A-N-D-R-A. G and then Brady, B-R-D-Y. No E, B-R-D-Y. And we've been talking about her great book. Really interesting. And as we heard, she's been told there's others she's got to write. It's called I Just Can't Make This Shit Up, Overcoming Fear and Acceptance by Spiritual Gifts. Very interesting, very enlightening, and I'm sure a lot of people, as we know, it's a bestseller. A lot of people have already enjoyed it and reading through it. Well, that's it for today. I'll be back on Sunday with my music shows. First, between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern, we have Those Were the Days, music from the 20th century. And I was just working out what the theme's going to be. And it's drawing shapes. So think of the music, 20th century music that was to do with drawing squares, lines, circles, you know, that sort of stuff. Anyway, and then from 6 to 7, of course, we have the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s. And then next week, I'll be back on Tuesday and Wednesday with a couple more chat guests. But until then, as always, I have one thing left to say. Don't forget...